Good afternoon, Peterborough. My name is Evan Robbins, Trent Radio's full-time broadcast journalist through the Local Journalism Initiative, and you are listening to Switchboard, the show that keeps you plugged in to all the news and people of note in the place at the end of the rapids. We are broadcasting live through the facilities of Trent Radio, CFFF 92.7 FM in Peterborough, Ngozi-Winong, and the surrounding area. I have a guest live in studio with me again this week. This week, I'm joined by president of the Trent Central Student Association, the student union representing the undergraduate student body of Trent University, Michaela Simpson-Cardi. Michaela, thank you so much for being here.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me.
And for people who don't know, like, what the president's position is, why don't you just, like, introduce yourself and tell them a bit about your responsibilities and what you do.
Yeah, so to be the president of the TCSA is to kind of be the main centerpiece of, like, the association as a whole. So you are the main kind of representative for student voices. You're the one that's going to be talking to media. You're the one that's going to be talking with MPPs. You're kind of, like, just that sole person. Some of my daily tasks look like lots of emails. Definitely when first thing when I get into the office, I'm sitting there scrolling through my emails, responding to people. It also consists of a lot of meetings, with Trent administration, meetings with the president of Trent, Kathy, as well as, like, with people from surrounding the neighborhood, Peterborough.
Incredible. I mean, it sounds like you're kind of like the top of the pyramid. Like, everything hones to you.
Yeah, that's pretty much the best way to describe it.
And so you, before this, you were the VP of Campaigns and Equity. Have I got that right?
Yes, I was.
What inspired you to get into student politics?
So before I ever thought about wanting to run for the TCSA, I was actually the president of TACSU, the Trent African Caribbean Student Union, for 2 years, I think, at that point. And what really kind of made me want to run for the TCSA was the lack of representation, honestly. I felt like within being with TACSU, like, we were able to create such a space where Black students felt like they were heard and represented. And I just noticed that there was such a big gap between Black students and actually them using services from the TCSA. So that was kind of my main reason for wanting to run. Yeah.
It seems like there has definitely been a shift. I know when I was an undergraduate student at Trent University, there certainly wasn't as much diversity, I think it's fair to say, in the representation by the student union.
Yeah, no, I think that definitely last year was that when there was really a big switch. Last year, there was 3 Black members who were on the executive team, which, from my understanding, is the most Black representatives there have ever been within, like, the TCSA on the executive team at one time. Yola, the past president, he was the first Black person ever to actually be president for the TCSA, which was really groundbreaking. And now this year, I'm the first Black woman to be president of the TCSA, which is very exciting.
Yeah, well, I mean, congratulations on that. Even though, if you know, one could say it might be a long time coming.
Yeah.
And certainly, like, is a marked change from, I don't know if you would have been familiar with this, but, like, I remember back in 2019, 2020, the whole saga around the then, I believe, one of the VPs being impeached over racist comments that he was making on Facebook.
Yeah. I have heard about that.
Yeah. It's a proud and hallowed history at Trent University. But yeah, so this is, I guess, your second year in student politics, and a couple months into the role. What do you think, like, what has been different so far from being a VP as president? Like, how have you found the change in responsibilities and, like, I guess, kind of just the burden of representation?
Yeah, I think the main thing is definitely just being, like, the first point of, like, contact and the main person in front of, like, that everybody's kind of looking to for, like, an answer. I think that for sure has been, like, the biggest, like, change, because it's like, oh, yeah, I guess, like, yeah, I am the one who's supposed to, like, spearhead, like, these conversations. So that in itself has been, like, very interesting.
Do you, like, feel any pressure that you're kind of the face of this organization now?
Honestly, yeah. I think definitely I'm feeling a lot of pressure, especially these days with everything that's been going on within, like, the TCSA. I'm feeling the pressure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, to speak a little bit about that, you know, there's been some questions about the integrity of the TCSA spring elections this year. There was a lot that happened, from my understanding. Specifically, I think the thing that's been honed on is the conduct of the Electoral Committee.
Yeah.
There was a complaint lodged with the Electoral Committee about their conduct and the allocation of infractions during the voting period. And then my understanding is essentially the Electoral Committee investigated themselves and cleared themselves of wrongdoing. I think given the circumstances like that, you know, undergraduate students might be worried about transparency, about accountability. What would you say to sort of assuage, to reassure them, you know, how do you think you deal with that as an elected member of the organization representing them?
Yeah, so honestly, I think that that's a very valid student, like a very valid concern that some students are definitely having. So right now, the association is in the process of conducting an external investigation into our elections process and the way the elections had gone down. So we're hoping to have some results possibly in June, towards the end of June. And then from there, when we get those results, we'll be able to kind of determine like how we want to move forward with elections like in the future and what that will look like. And within that process, I'm hoping to be very transparent with the students about what has come out and what had happened and how we were going to be moving forward so that everybody can feel like they're heard and seen and like welcome to participate within the elections process.
I know as part of this, like initially the last board of the TCSA from sort of like 2025 into 2026 preceding your administration had at one point, my understanding is, voted against ratifying the results of the election.
Yes.
So the results of the referenda were ratified because that's like an independent vote, but they didn't accept the elections report, and it was then subsequently ratified as at an emergency meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as obviously someone who was on the ballot, does that sort of give you pause? You know, does it feel like there's a kind of like the feet under your ground is not as firm as you'd like it to be?
No, I think that honestly, it's kind of like the opposite, because if I'm being ever so honest about like my own thoughts and opinions, I would have been a board member that also probably would have voted to not ratify any of the elections results. Just because out of fairness for everybody that was involved, I felt like maybe things like an investigation should have happened before, but I also understand that the association needs executives to be able to run and sign off on certain documents. But in terms of it making me feel like, you know, things are not as solid underneath my feet, I would say, honestly, like, things are going okay. And I think that continuing to be transparent with the students is what will really kind of get us through this mm-hmm. time.
For sure. Well, and it sounds like you're doing the right thing as president. If you're taking stock of your position, you know, being like critical and I guess really thinking of the people that you're representing.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of that, I wanted to ask, you know, what are some key areas of focus or things that you want to accomplish over the next year as president? You know, you still have the school year proper kind of ahead of you and a lot of lead time to get things done. You know, what is the stamp that you want to leave on the association?
Yeah, so I would say like some of our, this executive term, our main kind of focuses right now are continuing to mobilize against like the OSAP cuts, Bill 33, Bill 5, and as well as just trying to hold our government accountable and kind of reminding them that like you work for the people, so you need to be consulting the people before you're making such like drastic changes.
Sure, yeah. I mean, we saw each other at a protest against the Doug Ford Progressive Conservative government at the end of April. The TCSA, I understand, is going to be attending another one this Saturday.
Yes.
Can you speak a little bit just about why you feel the need to like protest the provincial government?
Yeah. So the one thing about this upcoming rally that's happening on Saturday is that I think the organizers are trying to make it a monthly rally. Okay. And the TCSA will be there every month to stand in solidarity. And I think our biggest goal with like going is to really just like remind our MPPs that like we're not gonna just like get over this. We're gonna be here and we're gonna continue to show up and fight the good fight and kind of annoy them, because like Dave Smith, you can only avoid us for so long. Like, we're looking to speak to you, or you were looking to feel as if like you actually have like our interest in heart, and honestly from you hiding, it just doesn't seem like that's the case right now.
Right. And like being there, being in solidarity with the people demonstrating, what would you say are the issues specifically that you as a student group or as a representative of a student group, like what are you trying to target? What are the principal causes for concern at the provincial level?
Yeah, so I think like from the student perspective, some of the biggest concerns right now are definitely the OSAP cuts and the changing to the way OSAP kind of runs in general. Mm-hmm. But within that, we're trying to kind of stand like... Our goal within the TCSA is trying to remind students that everything is connected and it's not individual battles. Mm. So within that, it's like going to these rallies, it's like standing in solidarity with like our worker unions, it's standing in solidarity with our healthcare workers, and just kind of like reminding everybody that all these things are connected and all these cuts that we're seeing, it's all linked to each other. And therefore, we should stand together and continue like to fight as one, because in a bigger number, we'll make more impact.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, that's really potent. I know, kind of tying the OSAP cuts and just the state of provincial politics in general, you know, the university is coming off of a year of a deficit year, mm-hmm. a year of big cuts and cuts that seem poised to get more serious going forward. The university ran, I think, $1.6 million deficit this year, yeah. and the deficit this year is looking more like $2 or $3 million. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of that stems from this big loss in tuition revenue. That $12 million is the number that the board report cited as like lost tuition revenue mm-hmm. from enrollment. What do you think the association needs to do this year to serve the undergraduate student body, as there's like this possibility of a lot of cuts across the board at Trent?
Yeah, I think the big thing is, again, like meeting with students kind of like in like kind of like town hall sessions where it's like we can actually communicate, so they can have a know of what's kind of going on behind mm-hmm. the scenes, like in conversations with administration, because it seems like sometimes there's a gap between like your average student kind of knowing about like what's going on like the administrative level. So I think a big part of that is having those conversations and being transparent and honest, and also like having conversations about how a big part of like these cuts is also because like the universities have been exploiting international students for way too far. Like they were using them as scapegoats and cash cows for far too long. And now that that's coming to an end, we're starting to see that the system that they were running off of wasn't sustainable.
Yeah. I believe that the number of international students, so like the number of international students who didn't, or who enrolled this year, it was a 0.2% difference between what the university had budgeted for, but that 0.2% difference, which was, I think, about 40 students, represented a large portion of, yeah, like this $12 million tuition loss.
Yeah.
So I think that's really illustrative of the amount that international students are paying in tuition relative to... domestic students, and how sort of uneven that ratio is in terms of the financial disparity.
Yeah, no, I think that like that in itself is proof that it's time for some change. And I think even in general, like Trent probably will have a retention issue in the next coming years, because if international students' tuition keeps raising where it's getting similar to like York or like U of T, then you're going to have students that are just going to end up choosing to go there instead.
Right. And what do you think, like, how does the association approach something like that? Because obviously retention has sort of knock-on consequences in the sense that organizations on campus, like the TCSA, like even here, like Trent Radio, are levied through money from undergraduate students. And I can speak for... just my knowledge of levy groups outside of the TCSA, that a lot of places like Trent Radio or Sadler House, for instance, find cause for concern in the possibility of seeing that levy diminish year over year as enrollment decreases as a result, not just of like the international student mm-hmm. visa cap that the federal government implemented, but also of just kind of the current economic conditions being so unfavorable to pursuing post-secondary education, especially if you're a person who requires financial assistance or like is trying to get a student loan. You know, that's becoming increasingly unrealistic as a sort of, or increasingly financially hostile.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that I think that I don't really have an answer to that question, if I'm being ever so honest. I think that it's something, that even like as an association, we're trying to navigate within ourselves is, well, we can, I think it's, that's a hard question to answer, because the reality of the situation is that, like, with the changes to education as a whole, like, you're right, like, education is becoming such a barrier for students, and we're already starting to hear those concerns from students, and we're hearing that people are already saying that they don't think they're coming back next term because they just don't think that they can afford to take on their debt. And I think that that's definitely like a challenge that as an association we're trying to navigate. How do we support students within those realms? And I think like last year we had created a funding line called NOSAP that was supposed to be able to help students be able to purchase like textbooks and stuff and pay off a little bit of like their tuition if they weren't students that received OSAP. But now we have students that receive OSAP, but maybe that's going to be changing, or maybe they just can't afford to take on their debt. And I think it's just another challenge that we're going to have to figure out how to maneuver throughout like the upcoming years.
Right. I mean, I think it's fair to say that we're sort of in an unprecedented situation as far as post-secondary education goes. I think, you know, you can look back as far as probably the Mike Harris years in the 90s and the early 2000s, around the time when also like Trent was going through a massive financial restructuring. But I feel like my understanding of the mentality at the time then was very much like, oh, you know, this is a bad conservative government that is going to have some serious financial implications for the next couple of years, but maybe there's a possibility to get things back on track. And it feels like, I don't know if you would agree with this, but it feels like we haven't gotten things back on track since.
If anything, it feels like things are derailing further and further.
Yeah. And it's difficult, I'm sure, as the president of the student association of a small university, a university where the margins are much thinner and where like we're still paying off the student center at Trent, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, no, it really is a lot of responsibility. But I think like, and part of that, I think, like, a big piece is just kind of, like, reminding students, I guess, like, what makes Trent kind of, like, special, whether it's through clubs and groups, the association, our levy groups, and, like, just showing students that, like, there is value, so you should stay here. Because look at all the fun things we do, and look at all the advocacy work we do, and look at all the supports we have.
For sure. Well, and, you know, you obviously have a background working with clubs at Trent, and now as the president of the student association, like the student association runs or I guess sort of dispenses the affiliated groups money, right?
Yeah.
What would you say, like, or what would you recommend to someone who is like maybe new to Trent, or, you know, has kind of done a year and hasn't found a place to get involved yet? Like, is there anywhere you would point them? How would you recommend they get involved?
Yeah, I think honestly a big thing is like coming to clubs and groups day, coming to community week, coming to see all the different like clubs and groups and like organizations that like you could potentially get a part of. Mm-hmm. And honestly, if there's still not something that like you're seeing that's sparking your interest, you can create that thing. You can come into the office and you can come speak with like our community coordinator in the TCSA office, and you can create that club. I think this year we had I think it was over 10 plus like new clubs creation.
And oh, wow.
Like, yeah. So students are coming through and they're like, I want to do this, but it doesn't exist. How can we kind of get like things rolling on creating this? And then our community coordinator will work with you to kind of make it happen.
Wow. That's incredible. 10, like that is probably more clubs than we had at my high school, which it's obviously like a bigger institution. But still, you know, I think it speaks to the diversity of Trent's campus and of the interests of the student body. And I'm just always like, whenever I've been at Clubs and Groups Day, because a lot of it was like, I've probably spent more Clubs and Groups Days tabling for levy groups or clubs that I've been a part of than I have as a student checking out the club. But you meet so many cool people, and you meet like, I remember I showed up one year and there were like five people sitting at this tiny table, and they were like, yeah, we're the Bigfoot Society. And that was like, I was like, we have a Bigfoot Society. you find the weirdest stuff. And I say that with like complete affection.
Yeah, because you could really find your people at clubs and group space. You just got to walk around and give everybody a chance.
Yeah. And the... what was I gonna say? The association, you guys also run a lot of the on-campus orientation events. You know, obviously, yes. Trent runs some degree of like the intake, and I would say, especially if you're living in residence, more of like the due diligence stuff of like, please don't smoke, you know, weed in the dorms, and please don't burn down Lady Eaton College.
Yeah.
And a lot of the off-campus stuff, like through Disorientation Week that OPERC puts on, is more like broadly like community integrated, or is more like workshoppy, perhaps not like catered as much to new students, but mm-hmm. maybe students who are finding a place off campus. But your slate of events is always so, I guess, like really fun and cognizant of new students who are coming to Trent and who, for whom it might be like their first time away from home.
Yeah.
I want to ask, and I know it's early days, so you might not know yet, but what do you have planned for Orientation Week this year?
So nothing is set in stone just yet, but we have been planning, and I think our biggest goal for this upcoming orientation is to make it memorable, to make it fun, and to kind of really grasp students to be like, okay, this is the TCSA. We mm-hmm. want to continue to follow up with y'all throughout, like, the whole year. Mm-hmm. And within doing so, like, I think... having fun events, but also reminding students that everything that we do is political. Right. It's like you can find a balance between the two.
For sure.
But yeah, other than that, like, nothing is out yet. But if y'all continue to, like, stay updated on our Instagram and the TCSA app, you'll see, like, everything that will be posted. And yeah, and then we're hoping to make it onto Orientation's website this year if they allow us.
It's the Trent University website.
Yeah.
That's one of the most navigable pieces of web design I've ever encountered. It might not read in this format, but that is sarcasm on my part. But I think, you know, I think you're right. A lot of political things can often be fun. I think back to some of the most memorable days I've ever had in Peterborough, and a lot of them have been at, like, demonstrations mm-hmm. or doing advocacy work. I mean, back in 2021, 22, I think, I was hanging out with two of my closest friends for the first time, or for, like, one of the first times at a demonstration, at which we were standing in front of Dave Smith's office, then on George or on Water Street. And in real time, my friend was editing his Wikipedia page to defame him. His 5-year IP ban comes up this month. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think that's the moment right there. That's the real work.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's like the kind of thing we hope that in 5 years, there are some Trent students or Trent alum who are like, you know, I met these people at Orientation Week 2026, and then we went, you know, we went and stood in front of Dave Smith's office and yelled at him together. That would be...
they're core memories.
Yeah, exactly. As we wind down, as we're getting into the last 5 minutes, I wanted to ask, there's a municipal election on in Peterborough right now. It's still kind of early days of the campaign. You know, the nomination period doesn't close until August 21st, but... it's, you know, it's coming up. People are launching their campaigns.
Yeah.
There's like a half dozen people running in Otonabee ward, I think, already, which is not going to make my job any easier. But what do you think are the issues that students should or like will be engaging with in this municipal campaign?
Sorry, maybe I'm not understanding the question.
I guess just like... When you think of, like, the issues defining municipal politics,
yeah.
both for the past 4 years, you think of, like, I don't know, like, pickleball, like, capital projects, social services, housing and homelessness, arts funding, transportation, like, all of these things. And then going into, you know, with a new council slated to take over mm-hmm. in October, like, what do you think... maybe people on the campaign trail should focus on if they're trying to get the student vote? Like, what do they need to represent the students in their wards or in the city to the best that they can?
I think the biggest thing is remembering that Trent students are also Peterborough residents. Mm. I find that sometimes, like, that concept in itself gets, like, blurred. And I think even for students, like, they kind of feel like, oh, well, I don't actually live here, like, permanently, so, like, I can't, like, vote. But it's like, actually, you can, because you are a resident, like, while you're living here. And I think just a big thing to, like, focus on within, like, you know, getting students engaged is, like, taking transit into consideration and maybe the city prioritizing transit a little bit more, because students use it often, Peterborough residents use it often, and students are Peterborough residents. Yeah. And within that, I also think that Peterborough in itself has a lot of work to do, if I'm being ever so honest. I think that they have a lot of, I don't want to call them issues, but, like, for now I'll call it that because I can't think of a better word, that they just put on the back burner. They don't really think about. I think that it's unfortunate to see how they treat, like, the houseless people in, like, the city. Like, I think that it's very unfortunate that they don't think that it's important to put in programming and infrastructure to, like, help these people. In fact, it seems like they prioritize closing down shelters, which is unfortunate because even within that, like, there have been students who have faced, like, homelessness, and they need those supports as well. So,
yeah, yeah. I mean, it feels like the past couple of years, every September, I hear, you know, there are this many students using the Yes Shelter.
Yeah.
And not to sort of, I don't know, impugn the mayor's reasons that he provided to me this week for why he wanted to defer this emergency shelter measure, because, you know, he expressed it was concern with chronically ill houseless seniors, which, you know, all my heart goes out to them, but they are not the only people homeless in this city. And indeed, yeah, lots of students are coming in to the city for the first time and finding a city that is in the midst of a pretty severe housing crisis.
Yeah.
And yeah, I imagine more students would also take transit if transit was better.
Yes.
It is remarkable how once the 11 is no longer running, it's so much harder to get.
So much harder. But which is so unfortunate because so much of students' money actually goes into transit.
Yeah.
Like this year we spoke to do with them, I think we gave them $2 million of students' money. And it's unfortunate to see that it's still not running great and students, racialized students, are still having racial encounters with bus staff.
Yeah. It feels like it's the same issues that we talk about year after year. And, you know, there are marginal improvements happening, but even then, I think of things like the amendments to the Council Code of Conduct that happened this past week. And while I think, you know, it's obviously a good step, those come off of the consequence of, you know, the mayor using profane, deeply insensitive language in front of racialized students at Trent. And really, it's a change that only affects the most upper echelons of the city of Peterborough, and not necessarily the lives of people in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think that kind of wraps us up for this hour. We got a minute left. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we go?
Please follow the TCSA Instagram and download our app. They're the best ways to kind of stay in the loop of what the TCSA has going on and, like, what's next. And make sure you follow the Instagram for sure, because we have summer programming coming up. We're taking students to all these different fun events, and you want to be there. So you want to stay informed so you can be there.
All right. Those links will be in the description in the show notes below. Thank you so much for coming out, Michaela. You've been listening to Switchboard, broadcasting to you through the facilities of Trent Radio, CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario. My name is Evan Robbins. I'm the full-time broadcast journalist at Trent Radio, and you can find me here every Thursday at 5 p.m. and always online at news.trentradio.ca. Thank you so much.
Thank you.